This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Race and Blood, Part 1. It's an addendum, really, to my previous series on race and fraud and the races of mankind. It was inspired especially by the video version, the Brotherhood of Man, and thinking of the line there about blood. The claim started with the fact that three average men of the three major races, the white, black, and yellow, if you take their skins off, that there's no way to tell them apart. The heart, liver, lungs, and blood, everything's the same. And it's the racist green devil that knows otherwise, or at least suspects otherwise. And there's a scene right after that where they have a guy run in to give his brother a blood transfusion. He says, I'll give him the blood. He needs blood. I'm his brother. And then his brother dies in the cartoon. But he wouldn't have died if only we had been more scientific, the narrator says. So, and then they lecture you that the right donor could belong to any race. The four blood types appear in all races. And so this inspired me to do some investigation into blood type. And I had already done some of this research before I had finished the previous series, but I knew that there was enough of it that it would merit an installment to itself. And I wanted to also take advantage of the advances since. I mean, not to hold it against the liars and fraudsters who produced those works that I focused on earlier, but a lot has happened since then, and a lot more is known about the science of blood. That's been discovered since, and I wanted to talk about that as well. So let me start by just saying that the intuition that blood and organ compatibility, which is related to blood compatibility, does correlate to genetic proximity, and that intuition was correct, that racist intuition. The facts about blood, as they were stated in the Races of Mankind and the Brotherhood of Man, were based at best on wishful thinking about equality and a promise of benefits. For instance, they never mentioned really what the benefits were, except brotherhood, generally speaking, but you can imagine a larger pool of donors. And I'll get into that a little bit in these installments. But another thing that they tried to do was blame and scapegoat and, the stupid, crazy, evil business about racists. They tried to make it out as if stupid racists would cause death by their stupidity about blood and blood types, insisting that literal brotherhood had any correlation to blood compatibility. And they really hyped that. They focused on the A, B, and O blood types. So we're going to get into the details of these blood antigens and what they are and some of the other details about blood. And one of the main points that I want to make here, too, is that this anti-racism, this ideological aversion to race, distorts and interferes with understanding the nature of blood. And we can see evidence of this even to this day, especially to this day, in people when they write or talk about blood, they are obviously afraid to say that it has anything to do with race. And there are several people who assert quite stupidly that it has nothing to do with race and disproves race even when they get really extreme about it. But it doesn't. What happened since 1943 is that blood science, which is really part of race science and the race science that I had covered several months ago leading up to the Race and Fraud series, blood science continued forward because it's just too practical to not continue. And the only thing that really changed about it was, besides it being slowed down, was that the scientists that were working on it had to pretend it had nothing to do with race, and they had to make up euphemisms and call it, use other words where they would have used race. So it slowed things down a bit to have to do that. This the science of blood is called hematology. That's the study of blood, the blood organs, and the diseases of blood. But I'm going to try and put things in layman's terms. I will mention some technical terms just to be precise about things. But I'm a layman when it comes to this. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to pretend to be a scientist. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. I've basically done a crash course in blood over the course of my previous research and the research for these installments. I've spent half a dozen hours in reading and trying to gather and organize the information that I've gathered. Blood is, and blood type, is a racial difference, and it shows racial differences, but they're less visible racial differences than skin and hair and face, things you can see with your naked eye. A blood type wasn't known until relatively recently. But it's more important than skin or hair or face appearance, because it can be a matter of life and death. And there's two main health issues having to do with blood incompatibilities. And one is transfusion reactions, and the other affects newborns, and that's called the hemolytic disease. Hemolysis or hemolytic is the basically the rupturing of blood cells. So when these different proteins of A or B or and the others that I'm going to talk about, when they come into contact, when you mix different blood types, that's what happens. Bad things happen. And I'm not going to try and get into the details of the medical. Being medically precise about that. I don't think it's really important. All you need to know is bad stuff happens when you mix different blood types, and it's not all the same bad stuff. There's a range that it varies from relatively minor symptoms to death and everything in between. Some of the consequences are, and the minor things are things like allergic reactions. But you also get things like kidney failure or kidney damage, and death is the most extreme. The history of transfusion, I want to cover that a little bit here. Just quickly, I'll provide a link to the page where you can read more details, but I'll hit the high points here. 1665 was the first recorded successful blood transfusion, and it was in England by a physician who kept a dog alive by transfusing blood from other dogs. It turns out dogs actually have blood types as well. In fact, all mammals have different blood types. They're different than human blood types, but they are analogous in that you can't just transfuse dog blood into another dog without risking a hemolytic reaction. In 1818, a British obstetrician performed the first successful transfusion of human blood to a patient, and it was to treat postpartum hemorrhage. So he was treating a woman who had bled a lot from childbirth. And 1901, Karl Landsteiner, an Austrian physician, he's actually a Jew, or was a Jew, he discovered the first of the three human blood groups, the A, B, and the O. And apparently O was originally called C, but it was later renamed O. And then again in 1939, 1940, he participated in the discovery of the Rh, the rhesus blood group. along with a couple of other scientists, Alexander Wiener and Philip Levine and Stetson. So I'm guessing Wiener and Levine are also Jews. Not that European race scientists wouldn't have discovered these things as well, but just saying it in case somebody wants to make a point of it in the comments. The risks of blood transfusion. Well, I've already mentioned the symptoms, the things that can happen, but there's a couple of other little facts to be aware of. One is that infections used to be the main risk, and that's been eliminated mainly by careful testing and donor screening. And today, the transfusion reactions, the blood type reactions, are the biggest problem. They're the most common problem. And amongst those problems, the most common cause of those problems is misidentifying either the blood specimen or the patient. So human error in, you know, whoever, the nurse or the doctor that's attending the patient, they make a mistake. And that's what causes the problems. The allergic reactions are things like hives and itching. And that can occur in 1 in 200 transfusions of red blood cells and up to 1 in 30 transfusions of platelets. And then there's also febrile reactions, which are you get a fever, and that has to do with the white blood cell incompatibility or having a problem. And that's a much rarer risk of 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 10,000 that you'll have that kind of a. And these are minor reactions. You know, this is nothing life-threatening, but it's interesting that people do have these reactions. When you get a blood transfusion, it's not just match up A to A and nothing goes wrong. You can match up A to A and still get these symptoms because it's actually much more complicated than just A, B, and O. The first example of how anti-racism makes you stupid is a link here that I'll provide to answers at yahoo.com, where somebody asks, and sometimes these are trolls that are asking these questions, they're deliberately fishing for reactions, but they ask an innocent sounding question, which is there a correlation between blood types and race or ethnicity? And the two answers to the question deny that there is any correlation. Now, correlation is a mathematical term, but in layman's terms, it just means correlated, basically. It means if you know something about the probability of one thing, then you can say something about the probability of another thing, that they're related to each other. And the one answer says that there is some correlation between blood types and some populations, but not enough to use it to define races. Well, nobody claims really that you can define the races that way, that the races are defined by a collection of physical attributes. And blood type is only one, but it's not definitive. As with other characteristics such as skin color, there is more variation within a population than between two populations of humans. That's the old Lewontin fallacy. Therefore, scientists do not recognize races within the human species. Well, therefore, non sequitur, it doesn't follow from what was said. But the scientists actually do recognize race. They just dance around it, and they use other terms for it, as I said earlier. And we'll see some examples of that. Blood really is a good example that exposes that fact. The second answer is there is no real correlation between blood types and ethnicity, but there are a few distinct differences in the distribution of blood types among different ethnic groups. Well, that is correlation. So this is this doublethink that this anti-racism creates. It's this denial of reality. You know, on the one hand, they have this ideological impulse to deny that race exists, and on the other, they have to acknowledge the facts, which is that there are different distributions of the different blood types, and some of them are quite stark. So some basic blood facts now. blood, you know, you may think of it as just this liquid that runs in your through the veins in your bodies, but it's actually considered by doctors and scientists to be a living tissue, and it contains many different cell types and proteins. I don't want to get too technical about this. The antigens, that's what these blood types are based on, is these things called antigens or agglutinogens, which are a type of antigen. But they, you can think of them as hairs on the outside of the red blood cells. And also, it's related to the serum in which the blood, the red blood cells float. But, you know, you think of these different types of hairs as being like a type A blood would be an A type hair on the outside of the red blood cells, and a B type would be B on the outside. And that's what causes these red blood cells to have problems if you have a mix of type A or type B with each other. And then there's AB. This is, it gets a bit confusing, and you know, try and understand, well, what is AB but a mix of A and B? Well, that's true, but that means that every red blood cell has both hairs of type A and hairs of type B. So it's actually, you know, I don't know, make whatever sense you want of that. another little factoid is stated quite directly that blood type is genetic. In other words, it's racial in nature, just as anything that's heritable is basically racial in nature. There's a good site with some interesting information. I don't know, I hesitate actually to call it a good site because it's not from an authoritative source or what anyone would think of as authoritative, but it's a good site in that it speaks pretty plainly about blood. And the title of the page is actually Blood Facts. The site is called Blood Book. And I get a little bit of an uncomfortable feeling from it because it looks like it's got some search engine optimization stuff. You know, there's some invisible text about embedded on the pages about cord blood and so forth. So they're obviously trying to attract searches from people who are searching for information about blood. And sure enough, it shows up high up in the hits, and I find other people referring to these pages as well. But the information is corroborated by other sites, and some of the basics I'll just skim over real fast. The main blood types being A and B and AB and O, those are the four main blood types. And then there's also what's called the rhesus factor, which is positive and negative. So that makes a total of eight major blood types when you combine those two things. And then there's different blood cell types. There's red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets. I'm taking for granted that most people have understand these things. And this page gives some breakdown of the percentages of these different cells and some other factoids about them. But one of the interesting facts on this page, is the first time I've heard this, is that 1 to 2% of blood donors are African American black. That's all it says, just flat out. Well, 14 to 15% of the American population is black, and only 1 to 2% of blood donors are black. In other words, blacks don't donate to their proportion of the population. And this comes up again and again. This is not the only site where this fact came out. About rhesus, and there's a bit of a mystery about this. I mentioned the last time because it is one of the high points of blood types. It wasn't really known, even though it was discovered in 39 and 40, all the subtleties of it and the different population distribution of rhesus negative versus rhesus positive weren't probably known during the Races of Mankind when it was first published. And it came out in the 50s, the more detailed information about it. But basically, it's a European trait. Rhesus negative is, anyway. It's a minority blood type. Most of the world is rhesus positive. It seems to be it's highest amongst the Basque people who have other genetic peculiarities amongst just Europeans, but it seems to be a trace of old European genetics, a Cro-Magnon trait even. And there's an interesting video that I'll link to on the page for this program that makes the point that it's correlated, it's found in some of the same places that Cro-Magnons were known to linger latest in the area where the Basque live, but also in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco and in the Canary Islands. Those populations that live there, the indigenous populations, all have relatively high incidence of rhesus negative blood. Apparently, rhesus negative appeared about 35,000 years ago, the genetic mutation that's responsible for it. There's a lot of weirdness, a lot of speculation veering into weirdness about the origins and the meaning of rhesus negative of blood that go way beyond this connection to the Basque peoples and Cro-Magnons. I'm talking about things that you'll find if you look into it, if you search on the internet, having to do with it being alien, traces of alien blood or reptilian blood. I mean, it gets pretty far out there. And I don't want to say too much about that because I don't believe it myself. It sounds a little far-fetched. But there's other conspiracy theories about how it dominates. Rh negative is dominant amongst the European leaders, either presidents or royalty. And I didn't investigate that. That sounds possible, at least. Although I don't know. Didn't look into that too much. But Rh negative is a European trait. It's found mainly in Europeans, and where it's found in non-European populations, it's very likely due to admixture, you know, white colonization. At least that's how it seems to me. There is this special thing. Most people are aware of this, especially most women, that it's called rhesus disease, and that is when a European woman or a woman with Rh negative blood has a Rh positive baby. And there's this reaction. It's not the only blood incompatibility that can have a reaction. As I mentioned earlier, this is known for other blood types, but it is the most common one. It's the most well-known one. And this is basically a racial difference. It's a problem for white people. It's not a superiority. It's not a sign of white superiority at all. It's a liability, but it's a racial difference between races. American Red Cross offers some good information about blood, but it is more politically correct than this other blood book site. They mention that O positive is the most common blood type, and they do say pretty directly here that not all ethnic groups have the same mix of blood types. Hispanic people, for example, have a relatively high number of O, while Asian people have a relatively high number of B. The mix of different blood types in the U.S. populations is, and then it provides a pretty good table of the eight main blood types. And I'll just make a couple of comments about that table. You'll have to refer to my post to see the actual details. But this business about calling Hispanic, identifying Hispanic as if it's a racial group, is another indication of how anti-racism makes you stupid. The actual admixture there, or the nature of the difference that sets Hispanic, quote-unquote Hispanic people apart, is actually the Amerindian admixture. The part of Hispanics that are European in origin actually share more in common with Europeans. So, you know, it's hard to say whether they were aware of that when they computed these numbers or not. And in fact, the other things that they provide that they break down, like Asians and versus Caucasians versus Africans, it's hard to say too there how close, because they screw up on Hispanic, how close they were to a racial genetic understanding. This is where the genetics of blood types actually is more accurate. By trying to pretend that race doesn't exist and trying to blur it out, you actually lose information. But this table also, it shows you the importance of the negative blood type. And though it's not, you know, totally unique to Europeans, for instance, O negative, Caucasians, 8% of Caucasians are O negative. Only 1% of Asians are O negative. So you have an 8 times greater likelihood, given a European that's O negative, and finding an Asian, or any given Asian, is 8 times less likely to be O negative. With A minus, it's 7% versus 0.5% for Asians. That's a factor of 14 difference. And for AB negative, it's 1% versus 0.1% for Asians. That's a factor of 10 difference. So this is a correlation that you can see that that for these blood types, it makes sense to look at potential donors or not look at potential donors based on their race. If you're if you're looking for a match, you want to look in certain racial groups versus others. You have a better chance of finding what you're looking for. There's another interesting paragraph here. Let me read. Some patients require a closer blood match than, and this is, remember, this is the American Red Cross stating this. Some patients require a closer blood match than that provided by the ABO positive negative blood typing. For example, sometimes if the donor and recipient are from the same ethnic background, the chance of a reaction can be reduced. That's race, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they're saying here, is that race matters when it comes to blood compatibility. And they're saying it directly, although hiding it behind the word ethnic. Although even that's a fair characterization, because these, you know, it turns out as we get further into this, it'll be clear. The race, what people sometimes think of as race, the major groupings, the black, white, yellow, it's less true that they're the blood types are less relevant or less decisive, less definitive when it comes to race. Whereas as you get into a narrower racial strain, like an ethnic group, there the racial race types, or sorry, the blood types can become definitive. That's why an African-American blood donation may be the best hope for the needs of a patient with sickle cell disease, 98% of whom are of African-American descent. So there's a related factor. It's not really a blood type. It's a blood disease. But did you know that? I didn't know that before I looked into this, that 98% of the people afflicted with sickle cell were African-American. And I would bet that the other 2% just have a African in their haystacks at some point in the recent past. But you see here, this is sort of a window into why it's okay in some cases to describe or to talk about race, and in other cases it isn't. You see, in this case, helping blacks is okay. So it's okay to talk about race when it comes to blood. When, you know, previously in the 1940s, when it was about helping whites, that's not okay. That's racism. And that's a difference that you see. It's really a difference in attitude. The very same facts and talking about race differences in blood can be acceptable if it's about non-whites and totally unacceptable if it's for the benefit of white people or for setting white people apart from others. So there's lots more to talk about here. I'm out of time for this time, and I'm going to try and move a little quicker the next time because I want to wrap this up in the second installment. Please join me for that, and there's lots more to talk about.